Okay, welcome. Welcome to In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky and Republic Broadcasting Network, your Friday night health and wellness edition. And we want to start off the show broadcasting here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send much needed fundage, keep free speech alive. And, you know, I've answered emails as of late, and I've had one emailer send me this link that is hosted on the Adam Green Show called The Jesus Hoax. And Adam Green interviews a philosopher with his doctorate's degree named David Scribina. And they proceed to try to tear Christianity down and say that Jesus was a hoax. Let me start off by saying that this entire notion is a knee-jerk reaction to Christian Zionism. This idea that Christianity was a hoax basically invented by the Jews to fight against the Roman Empire originally, but then somehow it was embraced by the Roman Empire and spread throughout Europe. Europe became one of the greatest civilizations known to man, even topping the Egyptian and Syrian empires. And through Christianity, Europe united and defeated the Muslims in the Crusades and kept the Muslims from invading Europe. So the general idea here is that since we have Christian Zionism, we have to fight back against Christianity as a whole and destroy it from its foundation. That's the whole premise of what you're about to hear. Just going to throw that out there as I've listened to this and analyzed it. We're going to play clips of this, and I'm going to respond. And you can find this on BitChute on Adam Green's show, The Jesus Hoax to Deceive the Gentiles. The Jesus Hoax to Deceive the Gentiles. No More News Live with David Scribina. So let's just get this started. I'm going to play clips of this and then respond in kind.
Author David Scribina, PhD, PhD in philosophy, longtime philosophy university professor. Thank you, David, for joining us. I'm honored to have you here. I loved your book. Thanks for being here. Tell us about it.
Yeah, hi, Adam. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a, like you say, interesting book, I think, controversial thesis. I mean, the idea, I guess I'd like to claim more credit than I probably can. It's not really my invention. It's really a very old idea, this idea that Christianity was a kind of deception or a hoax. Goes back, decades, you know. I mean, the roots of it maybe were in the sort of the mid-1800s. Nietzsche had a lot of the key elements in the late 1800s, especially in his short book, Antichrist. Some Jewish writers in the early 20th century had the essence of the story as well. So the bits and pieces have been around for a long time. I think what's kind of compelling recently is that we have better data. We have better archaeological data and scientific data about history, and we can really do a...
Let me just start off by saying that, yeah, this has been around it's a very recent thing, early to mid-late 1800s. This is when the intellectual movement was launched based on the French Revolution, the Enlightenment, and how they questioned everything. If you remember, the result of the French Revolution was to decriminalize homosexuality and adultery. The French Revolution was very Jewish, and you had the Jacobins taking over France in the Reign of Terror, installing committees which were much more harsh on the people than the monarchy was. But that having been said, I'm just giving you a little bit of a history, a background as to where this movement against Christianity started. As Mr. David here, Dr. David stated, you know, in the 1800s, and this was a pushback against Christianity because of the Enlightenment. And to dovetail that, it was a pushback against morality. Democracy was the key thing here. And we all know how great a system democracy is, right? So anyway, that's where this sort of gets its roots. And let's just go on with it. Keep in mind that anything anti-Christian is always Jewish in nature. Always Jewish in nature. So even though David's thesis is that Christianity was a Jewish ploy to undermine the Roman Empire, really what the reality is that the anti-Christian Enlightenment movement of the early 19th century was a Jewish ploy to undermine the Christian movement. Let's just keep going with this.
Really do a better job than any time in the past about really piecing together the story as factual and as accurate as possible. And these ancient writers, they just were in no position to do this. They just kind of had to make presumptions and guesses about what was going on. But yeah, I mean, the Jesus hoax thesis is really very concise. I mean, I can put it in just a few lines if I can give you the short version.
Please.
Yeah, so, I mean, the basic story, of course, everybody knows, you know, Jesus is the miracle man in the Bible. So he's walking in water, he's raising the dead, he's healing the sick, he's calming the storm, and so forth. I guess the first point is that if Jesus really was this miracle man, there would be contemporaneous evidence. So we had lots of witnesses, hundreds or thousands of witnesses to these miracles. And we had the Romans who were in charge of Palestine at the time. And we had the Jews and the pagans, the native Arab people who were there. We had Jewish scholars who were aware of what was going on. There would have been evidence. If Jesus was a miracle man, there would have been somebody documenting the evidence. The second point is we have no evidence at all. There's no such evidence. I mean, nothing.
So documenting the evidence, I would like to point out the Bible. And he will address this later, how he feels that the gospel writers lied. But you have to understand the validity of the Bible. First of all, the Old Testament was written originally in Hebrew. And when the Greeks took over the Middle East, circa 250 BC, you had Greek scholars that got together with Hebrew scholars, and they translated the Bible from Hebrew into Greek, and that was called the Septuagint, and they canonized the Old Testament. That's been accepted throughout history, and it's the Septuagint is a very reliable, historically documented source, and that was preserved by the Greek Christians in the Byzantine Empire, who also preserved over 5,000 copies of the New Testament in Greek, and later brought those transcripts into Europe to get with great men such as William Tyndale to translate the Bible into English from the Greek and Hebrew and Latin texts that they had available. So this guy is basically just saying the Bible is irrelevant when actually it's the most important book and most documented book of all of history. No other book, historical book, is as well preserved or documented. So basically, we've got this one person here, and you know, possibly there's thousands of others that are in this movement, but possibly thousands of people, as opposed to millions upon millions of scribes, as well as our European forefathers who preserved the Bible and transcribed it and made sure that we had the copies that we have today. But let's go on with this. So there's one piece of evidence. He says there's no documentation. You have the Bible. You also have the works of Josephus. Flavius Josephus did acknowledge that there was a man named Jesus Christ. He acknowledged John the Baptist. And you can, I have many of his works in my library. You don't have to just go off Wikipedia. You can actually go and get the works of Flavius Josephus, which no secular historian denies. And they rely heavily on those works in their studies of history. Let's keep going with the podcast here.
Nothing at all from Jesus' lifetime, which we can nominally say from the year to about the year 30. We'll just, for purposes, we'll call it the year of the crucifixion, the year 30. So we have no evidence during Jesus' lifetime. We have no evidence during the 3 years of his supposed teaching. We have no evidence for decades afterward. We have no, let's say, unbiased evidence for like 6 or 7 decades. I mean, it's really astonishing. The obvious conclusion, then, is that there really was no miracle man at all. right? So this is sort of the first piece of the puzzle that there's two possibilities. Either there was no Jesus at all, and he was a pure fiction, or he was, as is described, a Jewish rabbi, a mortal man who agitated on behalf of his people, probably got in trouble with the Roman authorities, probably got crucified, which was the standard punishment by the Romans at the time.
So stop right there. He at first tries to say there was no historical Jesus. Well, he's got no leg to stand on there. As again, every modern historian agrees there was a man named Jesus circa 0 to 30 AD, Anno Domini, year of our Lord. And then he claims that this man, Jesus, could have just been a regular Jewish rabbi that got in trouble with the Roman authorities. Well, actually, Jesus went against the Jewish authorities. Pontius Pilate did not want to crucify Jesus. It was the Jewish establishment, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that did that. So it was the Jewish establishment, which was very well entrenched into the Roman government, that crucified Christ. Just throwing that out there. On with the document.
At the time, and then died and was buried somewhere, and we'll never know where it is. So the evidence is, since we don't have the miracle man evidence, the conclusion is there was no miracle man. Then along comes a group of people. Some years later, Paul is the first guy. He starts writing some letters in the 50s and the 60s AD, decades after the crucifixion, and he's telling the story about the miracle man who died, who's the Son of God, who went to heaven, is redeeming your sins, is going to bring you eternal life. So it seems like he's telling something which is clearly untrue. We have no evidence that the miracle man existed as a miracle man. Paul tells us there was a miracle man. So the presumption is, yeah, Paul lied. He was a liar. He made up this story. The gospel writers come after Paul dies. The four gospel writers, we'll just call them Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for sake of convenience. So they're writing between the years 70 and, say, mid-90s. Again.
70s, mid-90s. I mean, that's pretty close to the actual events of the life of Christ when their writings were out in the churches. So there's many works of history that we acknowledge that sometimes are documented centuries later. But this guy wants to call the entire Bible into question just because it was a couple of decades after the events. But let's go on.
Again, even decades later than Paul. And they're giving us lots of stories about the miracle man. The details of the miracles and the raising from the dead and the healing of the sick and all these very detailed miracle stories. Again, they're constructing these stories. There's no evidence they ever happened. Almost certainly they did not happen. They're being portrayed as truth. So, well, what's the obvious conclusion? These guys are liars. They constructed a story that was not true. They pass it off as truth. So, yeah, let's just call them what they are. They're liars. I mean, they created a story and they lied. I guess the thing
for a reason.
Exactly. So this is the last little piece of the puzzle, right? So why would they do this? They didn't just do it for the fun of it, just because they were being malicious. I mean, they had a reason. And it really ties back to the conflict with Rome. And we know that the Romans moved into Palestine in 63 BC. They overthrew the Jewish tribes who were in charge, created enemies, hatred on the part of the Jews, who never liked foreign rulers for centuries before then, surely hated the Romans, hated the Roman rule. And we're looking at ways of getting back at them, obviously.
So here his premise in his thesis is that Christianity was created as a backlash against Rome because Rome kicked out the Jews between 63 and 70 AD. Actually, the Jewish revolt was 66 AD, and there was a pause in the revolt as Rome surrounded Jerusalem. And the only reason Rome surrounded Jerusalem and sacked it was because Jewish zealots, who were not Christians, revolted against the Roman Empire. The Christians did not revolt. Repeat, did not revolt against the Roman Empire. The Christians were just having their church and going on. It was actually the Jewish establishment that persecuted the Christians and that brought them before the courts of Rome to label them as subversives. And so that's the thing. So why would the expulsion of the Jews, the very establishment that persecuted the Christians, you know, how could Christianity be a system that was designed to fight Rome when actually it was the Jews that were fighting Christianity, and then Rome expelled the Jews? And then he'll cover this, but a couple of centuries later, through AD 300, you know, the Roman Empire under Constantine embraced Christianity, and Rome became great under Christianity, so great that it had to split into two empires, in Rome and Constantinople, also known as the Byzantine Empire in the east, in Turkey. And then Christianity spread all throughout Europe, and Europe became one of the greatest world civilizations ever, because Christianity unified the Europeans. All right, let's go on with the talk here.
Military conflict was out of the question. They were completely overwhelmed by the Roman Empire. So, well, what's the obvious alternative? You take kind of a moral or a spiritual attack against the Roman worldview, the Roman ideology, and the Roman religion, the pantheism of Rome, if you will, and you create a counterstory, something that's like Judaism with a Jewish God and a Jewish preacher who's the Son of God who came here to save you, and you portray this fellow, and he's here to rescue humanity from Satan, the evil power.
So once again, this guy keeps on with the notion that Christianity was designed to fight against Rome, when really Rome didn't care about Christianity in the first century AD. They really didn't. Any power that threatened to overthrow the Roman rule, that's what they cared about. And those were the Jewish zealots. The Jewish zealots that led the 66 AD revolt, they're the ones that fought militarily against Rome. And Christianity was always persecuted by the Jews. Just keep that in mind. And we'll play a little bit more of this just before the break.
Which, of course, is Rome. And just believe in Jesus, believe in the Jehovah, the Jewish God, believe in the Jewish rabbi, and you will be saved from Rome. So that's the hoax story in a nutshell.
Okay, and we're going to get into more of this on the other side of the break, but just to bring it all together, this guy's thesis is basically that Christianity was designed by Jews to fight against Rome, even though Rome didn't care about Christianity. Rome only cared about, the Roman governors only cared about any entity that would threaten their rule, and that actually turned out to be the Jewish zealots that tried to revolt against Rome. So that's where this guy's at. I think he's way off base. We've got a break coming up, and we'll be back on the other side.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Today, tales of war and lies, but you turn right over to the TV page.
And we're back. We're back in plain sight. Jeremy from Kentucky analyzing the Jesus hoax documentary, hosted by Adam Green and featuring David Scribina. We'll go on with the podcast, and I'll do more commentary.
On page 100, you say, manipulate the Gentile masses for the benefits of a certain group. And when we see what's going on today, what do you see as the relationship between Christianity and Judaism in modern days? What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, so there were conflicts that developed out of this hoax story, right? You know, Paul is working with a small cabal. It's a group of people, a group of Jews. They were all Jews. Who are constructing this savior, this Messiah story, which ran counter to Judaism, traditional Judaism, which says there was no Messiah yet, no savior had come yet. So you're immediately creating a conflict within Judaism. You've got the small Christianized Jews who have a story that the Orthodox Jews don't like because it goes completely counter to their religious outlook. You know, maybe they could see some benefit in the strategy. We don't really know, but there seems to be some conflict as far as we can tell. So that sort of sets the stage between the conflict between the standard Orthodox Jews and these new Christian Jews. And you can see it even in the stories that show up in the Gospels, right? So the Jews condemn Jesus. Maybe the Jews put him to death, or they contribute to putting him to death, and they don't believe in him. So built into the story at the beginning is a conflict between traditional Judaism and this new religion that was invented by Paul and his followers. Immediately there's a conflict. And then, of course, this only grows with time as the Christian movement becomes almost entirely a Gentile movement, because the early Jews, they sort of fall away. It becomes a Gentile religion within a century or so. And so you have the theological conflict between the Gentile religion and the Jewish religion. You have the ethnic conflict between Gentiles as an ethnicity in general and the Jewish ethnicity. And there's a long-standing conflict there as well that goes back centuries and centuries. So you have a couple of levels of conflict between Gentile Christians and Jewish Jews, right? And then this goes back to the very beginning. And this is, it's been true through the centuries. You saw it in early Christian movement, the early Christian fathers. You saw it in Aquinas. You saw it, obviously, in Martin Luther, who was a great opponent of the Jews. You know, you see it in the persecutions through the centuries and standard Catholicism. And, even up through much of the present day, there's been some funny things going on in recent years.
So here he admits, Scribino admits, that the Christian movement became a Gentile thing. It became something that Gentiles embraced. And he even mentions great reformers like Martin Luther, who wrote The Jews and Their Lies. And so he's sort of going against his own thesis here. His thesis, remember, is that Christianity was a Jewish movement against the Roman Empire. And now he's openly admitting that Christianity is a movement that pushes back against, Jewish power, and that figures such as Martin Luther, took up this banner. So I'm not sure exactly what he's doing here, but let's go on with the video.
Years where they're trying to reconcile things, but basically it's a 2,000 year story of conflict on both ethnic and theological grounds.
So on page 70,
once again, he's knee-jerk reacting to Christian Zionism. This is what this entire thing is a knee-jerk reaction to Christian Zionism, because for over 1,600 years, our European Christian forefathers had no problem with the Bible. And they embraced Christian values. Christianity made Europe great, united Europe. And, they built great cathedrals, and awesome music was created. Just think about Handel's Messiah, the great work from George Frederick Handel. And so this guy's totally just glossing over all of these great accomplishments and unification of Europe, and just basically boiling this down to, well, it's a conflict between Jews and Christians and Gentiles and Jews. Christianity did push back against Jewish power, and it has for a couple of thousand years, and it's only been in the last 100 years that you've had this Christian Zionist movement, which this entire video is a reaction to. We're up on the break, and we'll be back on the other side.
True. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Xtendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Xtendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
And we're back. Back to In Plain Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky. And we're analyzing the video, The Jesus Hoax to Deceive the Gentiles, by David Skrbina, hosted by Adam Green. And we're going to play more of the audio here and continue to comment on it as the audio cues up.
You quote Seneca saying, "The vanquished have given their laws to the victors." If you have a chapter on here about early pagan writers that were criticizing Judaism and Christianity, can you tell us a little bit about that and kind of you set the context in the background story, what was going on then, and how Christianity actually was a preferred opposition than the pagans. Can you speak on that?
Right, so that's the chapter 4 in the book, right, where I'm detailing the long history of sort of anti-Jewish attitudes, right, that existed even before the Christian times. I mean, this goes back to 300 BC is probably the first critiques of the Jews, and you get it from the Greek thinkers like Theophrastus and Hecataeus of Abdera. They're critical of the Jewish people. As soon as they come in conflict, they have a problem. The things they don't like. These people are crazy, they're superstitious, they're malevolent, they hate the rest of humanity. I mean, you see these themes over centuries, completely prior to Christianity, prior to Roman invasion, all this stuff. It's a multi-century history of conflict. Anytime the Westerners, the Europeans, say, came into conflict or interacted with the Jewish people, you get this negative perception. And so to me, this was really important because it really set the stage and says, well, look, there's this long history of conflict. The Jews have been for centuries been proclaimed as exclusivist, as kind of a superiority complex, as misanthropic, as hating the rest of humanity. You see this over and over again in these ancient sources. And so they really had this, they really detested the anybody else, anybody who wasn't them. They really view them, of course, this is in the Bible, right? They're the chosen people. I mean, so God picks the Jews. Everybody else is second choice at best, right?
Yeah, unchosen, unholy. Unchosen.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right. So, I mean, to me, this sets the context when you have the Romans marching in And of course, the Jews are always already predisposed to hate the foreigners, hate the Gentiles. They already, I mean, that's been documented for years. So here comes the Romans, which they already hate. Now the Romans throw them out of power. They get really mad at the Romans. They're really burning. They really want to get back at them. They're just figuring out what are the best ways to do it. There was a zealot movement. You're familiar with this one, kind of a militant, like a guerrilla war against the Romans. And they were doing periodic stabbings and killings of Romans and so forth when they could. But that was a very small potatoes kind of thing, right? It was really these bigger spiritual and worldview conflicts that was really kind of the genius of Paul. And
okay, so in nowhere, anywhere in Paul's writings, nowhere does he advocate stabbing Romans or doing a physical military revolt. As a matter of fact, in Romans 13, Paul writes that Christians should be subject to the authorities because God sets up all authority in Roman in government, and that included Rome, and that you should pay taxes and tribute, and that the government authorities do not bear the sword in vain. So this guy's trying to paint the picture that it was actually Christians under Paul who advocated violent overthrow of Rome, but it was not. It was the Jewish zealots. He mentioned the conflict between the West, and he specifically mentioned the Greeks, between the West and Jews in 300 AD. There was a conflict when the Greeks took over the Middle East, first under Alexander the Great, and then Alexander's four generals inherited his empire because Alexander was young, had no children, he died young. And it was around this time period, closer to 250 BC, that you had the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, done. Now, one thing to note is that there was a Greek general, Antiochus Epiphanes, who actually persecuted the Jews in Israel and tried to force them into Hellenism. He was readily defeated by Judas Maccabees in the Maccabean Revolt. You can read about this in the Maccabean texts. There's several of those that you can read. And so the alt-right tends to favor the Greeks in this conflict because of Christian Zionism. Everything that these alt-right people that are against Christianity today, everything is viewed through the lens of a knee-jerk reaction to Christian Zionism. And so this Dr. Scribina, he does not speak to the point that Greek intellectuals eventually got together with Jewish intellectuals and translated the Old Testament into Greek, and that they, the Greeks wanted to know what the Jews believed, what the Old Testament said, what Israel stood on. And so he doesn't really address that. He simply tries to paint a broad stroke here by just saying that the West has always been against the Jews in Israel. And so, once again, this is all a result. This entire viewpoint is a result of alt-right persons dealing with Christian Zionism in the late 19th and early 20th century and even into today. And they're trying to view history through that lens. And that's really, you can't do that. That's really you have to view history objectively, and they're viewing it subjectively. But let's go on with the podcast, and we'll continue to comment as it
Paul and his followers that constructed really an anti-Roman worldview to sort of draw the masses in and to really erode the foundation of support for Rome. That's really how I'm portraying it in the book.
So the Jews.
So right here, he says the Jews did a anti-Roman movement, and that's true, they did. But this was not the Christian church. The Christian church, as instructed by Paul in Romans 13, were to be subject to the ruling authorities, and they were not to overthrow the government. So this guy is lumping in the, once, as he has before, the Jewish rebellion of 66 AD. He's lumping them in with the Christians, and that's false. That's completely false. No Christian participated, that I know of in history, the Christian church as a whole did not participate in the Roman revolt. That was strictly Jewish zealots. But we'll go on with the
so podcast. The Jews could never beat the Roman Empire and all the other empires with an army. They needed to come up with a subversive propaganda deception, and then in 300 years at Rome, and then it spread all across the world, and then now today, basically, they're using the Christian Zionists in America to, you know, fulfill their Zionist objectives and continue on. Christians believe that in order for Jesus to return, they have to help the Jews. They have to have an Antichrist, and they have to have a temple, and they need to restore the Jews to Israel. So they're helping the Jews along with their agenda, with the promise that Jesus is going to come. I mean, it seems like a...
And so here they're glossing over a lot of stuff. It is true that the Christian Zionist movement observed... Let me go back. Regular historians and Christians observed the Jews going back into Palestine in the early 20th century, and that was actually pushed by the World Jewish Congress even before 1917, before the Balfour Declaration. And so they observed the Jews coming back into Palestine, and they're like, oh, well, look, the Jews are regathering in their homeland, therefore this must be a fulfillment of the prophecies in the Old Testament of the Jews of Israel being restored to their lands for blessing. But they neglect multiple Old Testament passages, namely Zephaniah 2, 1 through 2, that states that Israel will gather itself together for the purpose of judgment. And so these Jews that have gathered in Palestine since 1917 have gathered for the purpose of, they've gathered of their own power, they gather themselves together, and they gather under the power of global elite banking and on the coattails of World War I and even World War II in order to take back their land in spite of God. And so what Green and Scribina is pointing out here is that the Christian Zionist movement sort of formed as a result of observing the Jews regathering into Palestine, and the Christian Zionists falsely believe that this is a regathering that is approved of by God, when actually it is not, according to the scriptures itself. Let's go on with the commentary here, and we'll continue to analyze.
Like quite the deception to me.
Yeah, again, but this is natural because it's built into the nature of the hoax, right? So Paul and the Jewish gospel writers, they're writing this story for the benefit of the Jews. Even though there's internal conflicts about how best to go about it, they're really worried about what's best for the Jews, what's best for Israel, what's going to bring us back to power. And so the whole story is, this is the underlying motive for everything. And then it's not surprising to see it in the passages in the gospels and in what Jesus supposedly says, and you know, the little bits of theology that we need to, you know, the Jews are the good guys. We're right. We're the chosen ones. We need to help the Jews because that's gonna be, you know, lead to salvation in the end. So, of course, Christians who don't really understand the hoax aspect, mm-hmm. they pick up these pro-Jewish threads, which are actually there. And now this becomes, for the Christian Zionists, this becomes the be-all and end-all. We have to help the Jews. We have to rebuild the temple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they that's really buying into the hoax completely. I mean, that's really was the intent, right? You guys are supposed to buy into the story because it's beneficial for the Jews.
And so here we come to the crux of the presentation. The entire presentation of, quote, the Jesus hoax, unquote, is through the lens of a reaction to Christian Zionism. And in this reaction, this supposed doctor of philosophy, he makes the observations that just simply because the Christians have been, as a whole, the Christians have been subverted in the 20th century on up till today, just because of that, we're going to throw away 2,000 years of Christianity. And we're going to say that, you know, Paul, who was persecuted by the Jews, he was stoned by the Jews and thrown out of cities, left for dead. He was in prison. He was beaten because of the Jewish establishment, not because of Rome. Paul was a Roman citizen. The Apostle Paul was a Roman citizen, and he used that citizenship to get a foothold in the courts to basically uphold and to defend Christianity in the Roman court system against the Jewish establishment. And this man is saying that Paul created the Christian movement from the very beginning to subvert Rome, when actually it was the Jews that were fighting against Paul. It was the Jewish establishment. It was not Rome. And Rome later on claimed Christianity as its own national religion and spread it all throughout Europe. And the European civilization becoming one of the greatest civilizations ever. So that's what we keep coming back to here as we analyze this presentation of the Jesus hoax this person is presenting. It's an attack on Christianity. And if you're in the alt-right and you're attacking Christianity, as these people are, you're playing right into the Jewish narrative, because you know who else attacks Christianity and Jesus Christ? The Jewish establishment. They have for 2,000 years. And so you cannot let the Christian Zionist movement that we see today, you cannot let that misguide you and beguile you into throwing out an institution, namely Christianity, that has benefited the Europeans these many millennia, at least 1,600 years at the least, and 2 millennia at the best. Think of the morals. Think of how Europeans had a moral code based on the Bible, not based on paganism at all. As a matter of fact, paganism involved a lot of ritual sacrifice and witchcraft and things that are evil. And when Europe embraced Christianity, they established a moral code that stood for over a millennia and was enshrined in the American Constitution. And so these people are willing to just throw all of that completely out the window simply because large sects of Christian in the 20th and 21st century have embraced this Christian Zionism. So this is all reactionary. This is not objective. And I'm completely refuting everything that that was presented here on this podcast that we highlighted tonight. And so don't fall into that trap. And I've given you the podcast. You can look at it for yourself. I'll include it in the show notes so that you yourself can decide what to believe in. But that will conclude this segment of In Plain Sight. We'll come back on the other side of the break with a very apt selection from our European forefathers, classical music. And we'll see you. Have a great Memorial Weekend. We'll be back next week on In Plain Sight.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening live virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
65, I was 17.
Thank you. What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.